Let's try it one more time. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. How many know we are blessed with the favor of God? Psalms 5:12, He surrounds us with a shield of favor. You know that shield of favor speaks of our protection, our provision, divine appointments right on down the line. How many are thankful for His blessing on us? Hallelujah. What is Galatians 3:13 says that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Right? I mean, you're glad for that. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. This is what Jesus did for you and me. And the purpose was of that was so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon everyone. The Gentile, he says, but everyone who believes. How many today believe and have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then the blessing of Abraham, all that God has given through Jesus, is ours today. How many are glad for that? Amen. And I'll tell you what, pray for me today and over the next few weeks. You think this is easy? You got another thing coming. And I'm sure I'll have plenty of critics and plenty of those who will like what I'm saying, and we'll have them on extreme on both sides. But today I refuse to stick my head in the sand and pretend nothing's going on outside. We're not going to use this as a political bully pulpit, but I'm also not going to use this as a little place that I hide. And all we do is talk about the love of God, and people don't know what is going on. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There's a whole lot of untruth that is binding and constricting and stamping all over our Constitution. And where else but the church house should this be? It's been that way traditionally. It's been that way historically. And I refuse to stand back and pretend like nothing is going on. I am wondering where the voice of the church is right now. There are a few, but where are they? We are called to be salt and light. Where are they? So today, my challenge is, if you don't like what I'm saying, love me and pray for me. And just listen, hear me out. Okay? I'm going to do the best I can. Today, I've got 55 minutes. I'm going to quit it at 11:30. Whether I'm done or not, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Watch it. So when I end abruptly... when I end up abruptly and don't finish what I'm saying, that means you're going to just have to hold on till next week. I can't do what I did last week. I took that liberty. We went till almost noon. I understand you can only take so much. So we got 50 minutes to get out what I can, and then we'll just pick up there and go on from there. A couple of places that I want to start this morning. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians, the little book where we left off a number of weeks ago. I would like to get back to the groove that I was in at some point. We'll let the Lord lead us on that level, but today I'm going to take these same scriptures, apply them a little bit more to the emphasis that I want to express today. In Ephesians chapter 4, how many know that a revelation of the love of God, chapter 3, that we spent so much time on is the key to everything? It's the key to victory in life. John tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. The result of the love of God being a revelation to you is the most important revelation that you could ever have. Not your loving God, but you're getting a revelation of how much He loves you, and it'll cause you to love Him more than you ever tried to do under the law and constraint. Okay, so anyway, moving on to chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you," beseech, that's King James for beg, implore, "beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called." He is not saying that you need to do some things to be worthy. He has already said in the first three chapters, we are worthy by one way and one way only, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. We who could never fulfill the law from the heart. Now, there are those that on the exterior actually can. Paul said in Philippians 3, concerning the law, I was perfect, but I counted all that as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and righteousness which is of and or by faith. So our righteousness before God does not come through any kind of works. It comes through putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're watching by video or there's anybody in here today, you were to die today and not sure where you were going to go when you died, today you can end that doubt right now. Religion has made it hard. Jesus made it easy. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Paul said the door to salvation is easy. Jesus in John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Paul said this way. He said, if you confess with your mouth, join the church, shake the preacher's hand, pay all your tithes, live a better life, stop smoking, drinking, cussing, running around with women and running around with those that do. If you'll do all this stuff and make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's and make sure you're the most righteous person you can possibly be, then, no, listen, people, he starts in the heart. Here's what he said. Religion makes it hard. Jesus made it easy. And I've heard people right under their breath say, there goes that gospel light, easy. Jesus is the one who said, my burden is light. My yoke is what? Come on. Are you here this morning? How many are glad for Jesus today? He said, if you confess with your mouth from a heart belief, that he is the Son of God in this, that he was raised from the dead. That's supernaturally revealed, supernaturally believed, and it causes a supernatural change on the inside of you called the regeneration of the Holy Ghost, in which you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he, she is a new creature. Old things, behold, all things. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. How many are glad for a brand new you in Jesus? God understands that the outside needs some working on, that our mind needs some work. But just because you fail and you struggle and you're tempted and tested by the devil in the world does not make you a failure. You need to learn. Hang around this church and you'll find out that the more you identify with your sin, the more you will sin. The more you identify by faith with your mouth and affirming what God's word says about you, the more you will begin to walk and look like Jesus. Are you here today? This is what we believe. So if you're listening to us, I want everybody in here, eyes wide open, heads held high, to confess with those who might be joining us via camera or you might be in here today. Let the doubt be forever removed. Let this be a brand new beginning in Jesus. Let the Spirit of God and the love of God envelop your heart and your life as we confess together the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Say this with me out loud. I mean as loud as you can. None of this stuff. Wide open. This is a great and joyous time. Here we go. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sin, bore stripes for my healing, my blessing, my deliverance. I believe today that your blood was enough. It went farther than any sin, any stain of sin. And today I believe in you. And I receive salvation that you freely give. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm calling on you today. I believe in my heart you were raised from the dead for my justification. And today I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart and life. Make me brand new. Thank you for forgiving me and saving me today. In your precious name, the name of Jesus, I give you thanks. Amen and amen. Well, rejoice a little bit. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I pray today that wherever you are, however you prayed, that there's a supernatural enveloping of your heart by the Holy Ghost. Brand new. How many know there's rejoicing in heaven for those who prayed that prayer and put their faith in Jesus? Can you say amen? Amen. So, now if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it many years ago, here's the truth of the matter. At that point, God made you worthy, not on the basis of works, but on the basis of in whom you have believed. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. How many have received the gift today? The gift is righteousness. He died for our sin, was raised for our justification. How many got that sermon on Easter? How many are glad that he is risen and he is alive? Amen. Now, what Paul is saying here is not do some stuff to be worthy. He's saying walk worthy of who you are. That's a big difference. You are worthy before God because of your faith in the miraculous working power of the shed blood of Jesus and what he did in our place. He fulfilled all the law, then paid the ultimate price, and then gave us through his work. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You're not going to have everlasting life, because John goes on to reveal in his epistles that those who have believed have possessed now eternal life. How many of you got for eternal life on the inside right now? It's not starting over there. It's happening right now. That's good news, all right? Now, here he's saying, now I'm begging you to walk like who you are. Religion says walk this way to become a better you. The gospel is believe, let a work, the transformation of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he who knew no sin, the sinless, pure Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. John the Baptist, who Jesus called the greatest prophet ever, said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Somebody ought to be shouting about now. That is the truth of the gospel. Now, here's the deal. As a result of that, those who believe possess, have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, he didn't literally become a sinner, as some teach. That's ridiculous. But he took our sin upon himself, became the very visage of a sinful creature, was separated from God, but for a moment. Isaiah 54 prophesied, God turned his back for a moment so that we would never again have to experience God ever turning his back on us again. That's why he can say in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say the Lord. Come on, how many bold ones do we have in the house today? I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Why, you ought to be shouting right now. This is the truth of God. How many are glad for the truth of God's word? So these things established in us, righteousness which is by faith. Now the writer is saying, now I beg of you, I implore, walk like who you are. Who are we? He said in Ephesians 1 that we are accepted in the beloved, meaning highly favored. Aren't you glad for that? By God. All right? So, we have this right here. This challenged us. He says, I beg of you that you now walk worthy because of who you are. How many know it's important that we now begin to put on the new man in righteousness? We're free to do that because God's already taken care of the root of the problem. He removed sin, gave us a new spirit. That mean we don't sin? And absolutely, there's nobody perfect but Jesus. How many know he's going to help us now from the inside out to exercise power over the effects of sin? But he dealt with the sin issue inside of us. Otherwise, there's no way God could cohabitate with sin. He made us brand new on the inside. Romans reveals that we are joint heirs together with Jesus. That means that the old me died and the new me was perfectly, how do you say it? Perfectly put together with Jesus. Put it that way. We have become one. How many are glad for that? And what's his is mine. Walk worthy. I beg of you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. And he begins to say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. There's a lot that I could teach on. We may go back into all this, but I'm going to run through to some other scriptures that I want to draw out. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all. Isn't that awesome? Come on, through all. You think that thing I say all the time is just something I came up with. It's in the scripture. In me, for me, and through me. Here he says, above all, through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Jesus. He begins to speak then of how he set up the body of Christ. He speaks of the fact that he ascended to heaven. He gave gifts to the church. And he says he gave some for to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he gives the purpose for the perfecting. The word perfecting, if the Bible that you have says perfecting, you can circle that and write down beside it the maturing. Or another translation would be making whole. Okay, maturing or making whole. So the purpose for it is for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints. Who are the saints? Come on, set apart, the holy ones. Like Israel was once the holy brethren of Israel, set apart because of the faith of Abraham. Now, because of the faith of Jesus, we are blessed with the blessing of Abraham because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. Can you say amen? So moving right along. For the perfecting of the saints, in other words, maturing. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the body of Christ. Who does the work of the ministry? We do, somebody said. You're exactly right. Not me. I do it too, together with you. But you didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. And I'm not going to do all the ministry. In fact, I can't do all the ministry. And what I do up here is very, very little. It's next to nothing compared to what needs to be done in ministry by the body of Christ. Amen? So moving right along, okay? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect, a whole, a mature man under the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here he shows the purpose, and henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We tend to translate these passages in postmodern Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, whatever, but doctrine here simply is referring to teachings, ways of belief, rules, and systems of belief. Listen, it goes far broader. What Paul was dealing with back then was not little doctrinal issues inside the church. He was dealing with an onslaught of the enemy coming against the church with all kinds of deception from the outside. Okay? Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so we're going somewhere. So, here he says that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness. Nothing has changed. It's still the same. Okay? But speaking the truth, I have a responsibility. But you know what? It's not just Pastor Lee. It's you too. if I can withhold truth from you and keep you in ignorance, and then in the process of teaching, I can get you to believe that you need me to have a better life, to have a more godly life. If I can keep you in ignorance, like the Catholic Church did for many years, kept people, wouldn't even let them read their Bibles, taught doctrines that were not even founded in the Bible, and they hid the truth and kept people. Listen, if people can keep you in ignorance, they can control you. And all it takes is fear. They use doctrines to incite fear, to reinforce their control over the ignorant. My Bible says that if we're in tune with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is living on the inside, He is, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth that will lead us into all, not just a truth of just how to be saved or be filled with the Holy Ghost, but lead you into all truth and show you things to come. Are you alive today? Okay, now as we continue, I want you to see what he says. Speaking the truth in love. Don't be a jerk. I said last week, leave that up to me. Don't be a jerk. Be nice. Be respectful. But as you get a hold of the truth, somewhere along the line, you've got to have the guts to not be waiting on me or somebody else, but to open your mouth and with freedom and with authority and all the love and grace you can muster, speak the truth with a smile. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in him, unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And he begins to talk about what that looks like. Let's move right along just a little bit further. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that ye henceforth walk not like the world does. Here King James says, as other Gentiles, he's speaking of the world. He says, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. Everybody say ignorance. Ignorance. Say it three times. What you don't know can hurt you. The next chapter says, awake thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. If you thought that I was going to come in here and stick my head in the sand with everybody else and just ignore what's going on around us, people, we have a responsibility to know. I'll get there in just a minute. So let me pick up. He says here, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with all greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle of the old man that is corrupt according to deceitful loves, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul says elsewhere to gird yourself up. Gird up the loins. Gird up your loins. Gird up your thought processes. Awake. Stir yourself. Awaken. How many remember studying for a test in high school or college? Or maybe for an exam for a contractor? And man, you're studying and it's late and you've been working hard. Man, you do everything you can. You're slapping yourself. I mean, you're hitting the expressos, doing whatever you can because it means a lot to you to be awake. You have a lot to be gained by being awake. I'm here to tell you, people, you have a lot to be gained. If you're watching, wake up. It's time to wake up. There's a lot to be gained if you're awake and a lot to be lost if you are asleep. Are you here today? How many are glad for Jesus today? Okay, let's move on. All right. He says, that you put on the new man after God, which is created in righteousness through holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth. I don't know about you, but they have successfully so blurred the lines of truth, nobody knows what to believe anymore. And James says when there is that kind of confusion, there is every evil work. But I'm here to tell you, if you're born again and alive unto God, the Spirit of truth lives on the inside of you. Awake, thou that sleepest. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be ye angry. Be ye angry. Do you hate evil?
Yes.
Be ye angry and sin not. Blowing a fuse out of reaction is not godly. But as you begin to awaken to the fact that I've been duped, I've been sitting on my laurels in this easy American way that was paid for with blood and no longer have a connection anymore with the price that was paid, that I'm willing to just sit by, stick my head in the sand, hope things will be okay. This country was not founded that way. It was founded because of men who believed in truth and freedom and righteousness and saw a day when every man could be free in a new kind of system based on our Bible. That is what the devil hates, and that is what is being challenged right now. But regardless of what you believe about COVID-19, I'm not going to get into an argument with you about that. This information, right or wrong, real or not, has been weaponized to absolutely trod asunder every freedom that we enjoy as the result of our forefathers paying the ultimate price. And it's time we wake up and be willing to do the same. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but hey, this is my sphere of influence. What are you doing with your sphere of influence? Are you worried about being politically correct? Are you worried about being misunderstood? Are you worried that people will think you're a nut? Are you still weighing where you stand and being quiet until you know? Wise. You don't know yet. That's wise. Keep your mouth shut until you get some sure footing. But once you begin to get some sure footing, for you to remain quiet, possessing the truth. I'm sorry, that's not my job. That's your job. Okay, so we move along. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. To rise up in anger against evil and deception and lies. As people of God who understand that it's not Senator so-and-so that we should hate, but the spirit that has him duped and drives him. Jesus even stood up to Peter's face. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking to a spirit of Antichrist that was functioning through Peter. I'll not let them kill you. He couldn't understand that it was through Jesus' death that victory would come. Jesus withstood the spirit that was operating through him, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Understand, the battle is the Lord's. You understand? But that doesn't mean, so I sit on my hands and let the Lord do it. No, he has given us authority to make a change, to speak the truth. To know the truth and then speak the truth and believe God. Let me keep moving right along here. So the time flies. Okay. He goes on talking about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to hearts. You get into an argument, shut up and walk away with a smile. We're not here to argue and fight, but we are here to take a stand and speak our part. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake I want you to notice the new covenant is so beautiful. So many people don't understand this even still. Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, under the law, before he died, was buried and resurrected, said, if you want to be forgiven by God, you have to forgive others. Now, after the work that he did on the cross and his resurrection, which justified us, he now is telling us, forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you, completely turned everything around. Who am I? I'm a forgiver. So therefore, I can exercise forgiveness. I no longer need to forgive to be forgiven. I'm one with the Father through the work of Jesus. Are you here? Okay, so moving right along. Verse 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. He begins to talk about, but all fornication, all uncleanness, all covetous, let it not once be named among you, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'm going to dwell more on that. That doesn't mean that those who are in blindness and living the opposite of who they are, in ignorance, are you here? That doesn't mean they're going straight to hell. I wish I had more time to dwell on this. The kingdom of God, we're going to define that and show you what that means. Here's what he says. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He goes on to say, that's why you need to stop. Because you're no longer children of obedience. You're children of light. So stop this behavior. Look like who you are on the inside. Walk that way so you can partake in the kingdom of God that God is establishing right here on planet Earth. Of course, if you believe this is all coming to an end, it's doom and gloom, and we're out of here in a couple weeks because of goofy prophetic teaching, you won't care about the future. You won't care about the schools your grandkids go to. You won't care about what's taking place down the road. Jesus, just get me out of here, along with the Scientologist on your great big spaceship. Arrest us. Do I believe Jesus is coming back? Absolutely. Do I believe he will reign in victory and that's still in our future? Absolutely. But there's a lot of bad teaching. I don't have time to get into it right now. What you believe about your future absolutely dictates how you're going to live today. People, we could have 500 years. So wake up, plan for the future, believe God, look down the road like our forefathers did, and challenge those who oppose freedom in every way that you can. Let me get back. Woo! Be ye not, therefore, verse 7, partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now he states who they are, just like he did in Corinthians. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He reminds them of who they are. Who are you? Children of light. Let's try that one more time. Who are you? Let's try that one more time. Who are you? All right, then we need to walk that way. He's established. He took care of the hard part. Now, can we trust him by his grace, God-given strength, to do that? Say, absolutely, I can. And when I fail, he doesn't leave me. I can pick right up from there and keep on growing and keep on going. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? All right, let's move right along. He says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Listen, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, and just stay hidden in your closet and pray and hope for better times. No, reprove them. Open your mouth with love and authority, and reprove. Make a stand. Refuse to be dumbed down, shut down, shut up by PC. Know the truth. I realize there's a process, a lot of this unfolding, but the Spirit of truth is in you. You hold on. Let's keep going, all right? He says, he goes on to say, verse 16, redeeming Well, let me back up to 15. Let me back up even more. Here we go. 14, the one I keep quoting over and over again. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, that ye be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I'm going to take a little license here and put something together that may not belong, but I can see it. I think it's interesting that fear spins things out of control by a perfectly executed plan. And while people ought to be standing and making a difference, they're all given $2,500, told to stay at home, given everything. I know of companies that have gotten tons of money illegitimately, that have never missed a day of work, taking advantage of this whole thing. And while this is going on, they're partying and they're asleep. They're literally drunk on excess, while everything that we understand as American freedom, American way, is being taken away while we're asleep and drunk on excess. Know what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine. Whatever your choice of anesthesia is to keep you from feeling any pain, and Americans are the worst. You ought to feel a little pain when it's like this, but they're going to make sure that you got everything around you, your TV shows, your video, access to the internet. Let's ramp it up with 5G. Let's make sure you never miss. Entertainment envelops you and your ability. And just enough pinch and misinformation to scare you silly and to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. 6 feet. It's horse pucky. None of that is based in anything medical or real. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And here's the deal. I'm not up here. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about what you don't know helps others control you through fear. Say, I'm not a child of fear. I don't return again to fear. I'm a child of God by the spirit of adoption. I refuse to be duped. Don't look at me like that. You don't know any more than I do. And that's the scary part. And I might know a little bit more than you do on some of these things. If you've just been a praying and a hoping. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now I'm going to depart just for a moment. Chapter 6 speaks of this fight that we have as being a spirit, any fight, anything that resists. Understand, people talk about the Antichrist. Way back then, John said there are many Antichrists already gone into the world. Everybody's looking for the Antichrist. It's bad eschatology. It's bad theology. Everybody looking for the event. And I don't know if I have time to get into that now, but I will, and I want you to hang on. Okay, so a couple of things that I want to run by you now real quick. In the light of fear, last week I talked about a couple of responses in the church that really, really bother me. One is to retreat to our scripture-based slogans. They're not really scripture-based. They're distortions of scripture. Like, God is in control. No, he's not. Overall, he is. He is sovereign. He answers to no one. But he has delegated for a time an aspect of his sovereignty to you and I. That's proven in James 4:7, which says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're going to embrace a distorted view of sovereignty, then you're going to believe that even when the devil comes against you, it was by God's design. And God's own word says, hold the phone. No. Everything that happens is not coming from me. Jesus himself said in John 10:10, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Everything that happens in life doesn't happen for a reason. Some things happen in life because the world is the world as it is broken, and the devil is the devil as he currently is, the little g, god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. But his power has been broken through the work of Jesus, and when that name is on the lips of a believer, it renders his work useless in the earth. But unless we take a stand, having done all, I didn't finish there, we'll go there later. Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore in the evil day, stand up by the power of the Spirit. Be aware, know, let your mind be renewed with truth. Know the Spirit of God on the inside of you. I can't stand this stuff. God is in control. No. He delegated his power to the church. We're to stand up in the Holy Spirit without bitterness and envy and rancor, with authority and love and gentleness and strength, and speak the truth in love. All things work together for good. That's the most distorted. All things work together for good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. That isn't just a frisbee you throw to anybody who happens to be within. Do you love him today? Then it's working for you. Woo, my Lord. Awake thou that sleepest. Verse 14. We're not to put our heads in the sand and hope for the best. Here's another response I can't stand. And I know I mentioned this last week. I've got a lot I want to get to. Another one is, the signs of the times show the end is near. Jesus could return at any... He could, but not based on all that. I'm going to show you in Scripture and in real history that over and over and over and over again, men have declared the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ based on... He's going to come back when he comes back. When the Father says, go. Until then, we're to occupy until he comes. Until then, we are to do what he's called us to do. And I misquoted Martin Luther last week, but you got the gist. Basically, he was saying, if I knew the end was... It wasn't if Jesus was coming back, I think is what I said last week. He said, if I knew the end was tomorrow, something along those lines, I'd still plant an apple tree today. The heart attitude is so until he comes. Okay? What you believe about your future dictates how you will live today. I believe that. Give me just a minute. Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is a snare unto him, but those who trust in God will be safe. Pretty fascinating. The fear of man can be both physical and psychological. Jesus said to his followers, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after... Is that me? Don't you people know... You should turn off your phones. I will call you back later, Big Mike. Turn this dumb thing off. There we go. I hear you, brother. I've called the Antichrist on my hip if ever there were a time that it's true. Fear of man can be both physical and psychological. Jesus said to his followers, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus was preparing the disciples for the physical persecution that would follow his resurrection, that they would be beaten, stoned, flogged, imprisoned, on and on. Many would be killed, yet he warned them not to let the fear of man stop them from proclaiming the gospel. Even though his followers would undergo tremendous physical suffering for his sake, the trials would be brief and temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the moment they left the earth, they would forever reap rewards for their faithfulness. Wicked men would hurt them no longer. But a threat more prevalent to most Christians, especially those in Western free nations, is the psychological fear of man. This fear is an anxious need to have affirmation from those around us. The fear of man manifests as people pleasing, compromised values, peer pressure, and a choice to not share our faith. The fear of man can be a snare when we allow it to influence our decisions. Rather than obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, John 10:27, we opt for avoiding unpleasant interactions. It's easier to heed the fear of man than to invite the possibility of consequences. Consider the bold words of Peter when he and other apostles were ordered to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. We must obey God rather than men. The first disciples did not allow the fear of man to keep them from doing what God called them to do. The fear of man is a snare in that it supplants the fear of God in our lives. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, can you say amen? Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of man sets us on the road to foolishness. The fear of man has replaced biblical conviction in some so-called Christian circles. And he goes on, I'm writing an article by gotquestions.org. So I don't agree with everything the guy says, but he has it right on point that the fear of man is absolutely a snare in every sense of the word. Right now, we have a misinformation campaign that is going crazy. I've got 10 minutes. I'm just going to jump ahead. We'll come back. Swiss policy research. If you're doing any research, this morning I was actually on DuckDuckGo, which is supposedly is a search engine that will not track you, and I was accessing a couple of conservative web pages, one which was stating the actual facts concerning COVID-19, and as I'm watching my webpage, a black line started coming up from the bottom. This is me this morning. I still don't know what happened. I have not as of yet been able to access the webpage. A black thing began to come down, closed it right up, shut it down. I can't get that thing to open up. Weird. Never happened before. Never seen anything like it before. YouTube, everybody who rises up and tries, Dr. Batar, you need to write these names down if you're not familiar with them. Dr. Buttar, B-U-T-T-A-R. Judy Mikovits, who was involved in the corrupt development of these viruses, trying to jump from animal fecal animal material to jump the track from animal to human. On and on and on. Listen, this isn't conspiracy theory. And again, as I said last week, even the buzz phrase conspiracy theory comes from the CIA to shut down dissent and keep people intimidated from looking under the covers and trying to find out what is really going on. It's time to wake up and realize we're being thrown a lot of information. I don't claim to know everything, but I know the Holy Spirit, and I know in my gut from day one, I smelled a skunk. Something is off, and it is our place to stand and find out what's going on, and when we do, begin to speak out. I wish I had time. We'll have to do it next week. But here they give a quote, Albert Camus, La Plague, 1947, says the only means to fight the plague is honesty. And they start going right down through the facts. I can tell you where to get this. You can't hardly find it. You go on Google and you try to find anything on these lines, all you will see is the mainstream media. I'm not going to take the time today. I was going to show a video, but I have things in my heart I need to get out, and I've got less than 8 minutes to do it. Maybe we'll show it next week. But it shows news, the mainstream media all over the nation lines them up. There must be 50 of them, all of them speaking the exact same stuff in lockstep. They're actually could line up all the videos together. How many have seen it? And they're all speaking in unison. You tell me there's not an agenda. They're being fed information to control. Now here is Sweden, who stepped away compared to Norway. You want to study? There you got it. Here's what it says. According to the data, it says right here, this is facts about COVID-19. According to the data, the best study. You say, Pastor Lee, why are you bringing this up? We hear about this all week. No, what you hear is the fear and the information. And what's happening is we're being intimidated to give up God-given freedom in a nation that was based and founded on those truths straight out of the Word of God. And the church should be the first to stand and defend her. Where are we? You may not know what it's like, but I've sat in a preacher's home in Cuba with a house 5 feet on one side and 5 feet on the other while we whispered over our meal, because there were those set by the government through fear all around them who listened in on conversation, reported it to the head of that block, which reported it to the alcalde, the mayor, which reported to the head. I watched preachers get in prison, run off the road, attempts to kill them, their churches smashed, shut down, everything through the same ways and tactics that we're seeing being brought on. In fact, Frank Mantz showed me, and I had to go and verify it, who World Health Organization is actually using some of the same posters that were used by the communists in trying to get people, be safe, stay healthy. It's got this Nazi-looking nurse, the same stuff. Listen, I'm not trying to fear-monger. I'm saying, wake up, stand with the joy of the Lord, sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, build yourself up in the Spirit, redeem the time for the days are evil, be not drunk with the Kool-Aid, but rather stand up and know what's true. Are you here today? The Kool-Aid spiked people. They've been trying to shut down the doctors. Several doctors tried to come out and say, listen, people, masks are unhealthy for you. They create a warm, moist area that increases the growth of all of these things and more. They're creating way more of a medical problem than not. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not pointing. Because what do? You listen. You try to get the best information you can. But it ought to be a clue when they're shutting them down on YouTube, when they're... I got 4 minutes.